Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This weekend, Loretta Lynch, the U.S. Attorney General, was on the radio talking about drugs, and especially heroin, taking this country by storm. And she said this, and I thought of our list of reasons to keep your kids out of public school. What Doug McBurney and I on Mondays were up to, like, reason number 1,237 or something like that. She said, talk to your high school student. You will be shocked. Talk to your middle school student, she said. So let's go back a decade. This is 2016. Let's go back to 2006. It was Las Vegas. A man in his mid-40s had been struggling to overcome a drug addiction since high school. He relapsed. Methamphetamine, that led to heroin. He lost everything, his job, good job, family, a home. He becomes homeless. And now he is here in studio to talk to us. His name is Angel. Angel, it is an honor to meet you and to be with you in the studio today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
So your life has been restored. It's been given to you again.
Yes, it has. It's been given back to me by the Lord Jesus.
Wow. It's so thrilling to see you and to know right before we went on the air, your daughter called you. And it's just a thrill to see when God comes into someone's life, when they invite him in, and he's able to rebuild, to give them back their life.
He can restore everything. He can give it back to you. Yeah. I'm living proof of that.
Do you think Loretta Lynch, our attorney general, do you think she was right in saying that drugs, we have a current epidemic, including heroin? I remember back in the 70s, we talk about heroin, and then things seem to change a lot, go to cocaine, crack cocaine. But she said today, heroin is back with a vengeance. Do you think that's correct?
Very much so. It's coming back so strong. And if anybody wants my advice, it's to talk to your kids in middle school before they get to high school.
She even said that. She said, talk to your high school. Do you think, in your experience, do kids as young as high school age use heroin? Is that happening?
I believe so nowadays. I mean, in my time, when I was in high school, you know, 35 years ago, it was cocaine we were experimenting with. Yeah. But now it's heroin. I've known people as young as 14 years old being addicted.
Addicted to what?
Heroin.
Oh, no.
Yes.
That's just devastating. And so what I'm hoping then is you could share with us your story, because your story could give hope to others who are struggling. Now, our solution, you said talk to kids in middle school. Our solution is don't let them go to school.
Yeah.
Homeschool them. Send them to Christian school if you have to, but the best is homeschool. But at any rate, you're right. We have to talk to our kids because the danger is lurking everywhere.
It's lurking everywhere, and I honestly believe that no matter what our government does and no matter what law enforcement does, I don't think that they'll ever stop it completely.
Well, that might be until the Lord returns. I mean, one thing,
right.
The government would need wisdom. They don't have that. That's in short supply.
Not till God's back in our in our government. My problem began in high school. My problem began trying to fit in with all the cool kids. And it started, so I just started hanging out, and peer pressure, started smoking marijuana. Actually started drinking first, then started with the marijuana. Mm-hmm. That led to cocaine. Pretty much that was my life from high school till I was 35 years old. Every weekend, going out, drinking, doing coke, doing LSD. I have pretty much been addicted and or tried any drug out there.
Oh, my. If you could, share with us your life coming out of high school then, or just whatever part of your testimony you'd like to share.
Coming out of high school, I was just hanging around all the wrong crowd, I could say. Just every day we were working, doing all the drugs that everybody was doing out there, going to the nightclubs, drinking. And to be totally honest with you, the good Lord was nowhere in my life at that time. I was just running wild.
It seems easy to put God out of your mind. And we think that if we do that and then I can do anything I want to do, that's how we'll be happy.
Yes.
And there's this search, this quest for happiness. I don't even like the phrase, the pursuit of happiness, you know, because you pursue truth and justice and holiness and righteousness, and you end up with happiness. But when you seek happiness, you seem to never find it. It's elusive.
You know, when you say that, that whole time, deep down inside, I was never really happy. Mm. Think I was having a good time. Mm. Think I was enjoying life, you know. Mm. Thought I was happy. Until my daughter was born in 97, you know, I don't know how I did it. It must have been the good Lord, even though I didn't. Mm. I mean, I knew him all my life, but I wasn't really strong.
You grew up with knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible.
Yes.
That Jesus died on the cross for us. He rose from the dead so that we could be forgiven of our sins and have everlasting life. You had heard that growing up.
And paid never mind to it. Mm. Just was no big deal.
Wow. Imagine the Creator God of the universe came to earth for us. He suffered and died so that we could be forgiven. And the vast majority of people, even those who believe, yeah, that sounds true, the vast majority couldn't care less.
That's right.
They just don't care.
I couldn't care. I didn't care at that time. Mm. I really didn't care at all, you know.
But God is good to us, Angel. Even to those who have turned their backs on him, he's merciful. Like the college professor who says to his class, if there's a God, strike me dead in 60 seconds. Mm. And he looks at his watch and he says, see, there's no God. And the one student says, well, why do you think you could exhaust the mercy of God in 60 seconds? Mm. God is good to us. He's merciful.
Yeah. And let me... For all those out there that are listening, God will forgive you for anything. Because I know he's forgiven me for some of the things that I have done. And I'm not proud of the things that I have done. Because when I was out there drugging and drinking, I was stealing, lying, cheating, doing whatever it took to get my fix.
Wow. Even when someone is not doing other drugs other than alcohol, which is destructive enough.
Yeah.
It's so routine for them to lie. Everything could be a lie.
Everything is.
Lie to your husband, lie to your wife, lie to your boss, lie to your family, lie to everybody.
You know, I have such a problem today, now that I am clean and sober and have the Lord in my life, to lie, because when I was drugging, that was my whole life, was lying. I lied to everybody. My mom, my kids, everybody.
Yeah.
There was no saving me. But when my daughter was born, I quit doing drugs for 9 years. Oh. And I thought I had it made.
Yeah.
But there was something missing in my life. And I know now that it was God and it was Jesus.
Wow. Because you could go for a 12-step program and they might talk about a higher power, and somebody might think their higher power is the Milky Way or who knows what it is, a pyramid, crystals, but the only higher power is God.
That is correct.
The Creator God of the Bible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. And so anything else you use to overcome some sin or some addiction, you'll find out that it's passing. It's transient. It's very temporal, because only God really is the answer to our needs.
Yes. And I believe if I would have had him in my life, maybe I wouldn't have relapsed. Mm. But I believe everything happens for a reason, and the good Lord has a plan for everything. And I think me sitting here is the plan maybe he had to share.
Well, God has given you your life back. You know, as very conservative parents, my wife Cheryl and I, we raise our kids, and there's so many things other kids do that our kids have not done. I mean, they've had wonderful lives. They play sports, they go snowboarding, and they've traveled and, you know, had great lives. But there's also 1,000 things they haven't done, like go hang out with friends at the mall and go to a party till 3 o'clock in the morning where people are drinking. They haven't done all that. But when our kids, and we're now raising kids number 5, 6, and 7, sons, when they turn 18, we're able to give them a gift, which is their life. We say, son, here is your life.
Yeah.
You know, your life is all ahead of you. You haven't destroyed it. You haven't dug a big hole or a pit that you now have to climb out of. One of the things we're giving you this day is your life. And so God is able to take people who've destroyed their lives and restore their lives. Now, Angel, you said one thing that maybe I could give a different perspective on, that nothing happens by chance and everything is planned out. You know, I've had a jail ministry for a long time. I've spent a long time in jail. I don't know about you, but I've spent a long time in jail. If you added up all the time, it'd be 6 months of 24/7 of my jail ministry. But it's so common. There's guys in jail, and they're in there because of DUI. One young guy, 19 years old, he's in a van. The police were chasing him. They're all high, and they went through a red light and hit a family and killed the little girl. And it's so common for them to say, why is God doing this to me? Everything is God's plan. Why? And I say to them, no, this was not God's plan. This is your sin. Mm-hmm. This is your sin. God wants for you to love him and love others. He doesn't want for you to do these things. But anyway, that's another perspective.
Well, he did give us freedom of choice, didn't he?
He did, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, everything, I could blame my addiction and my relapse on a bunch of different people, but there's only actually one person I can blame on it, and it's the guy in the mirror that I look into.
Wow. I agree 100%. And me too. I haven't gone the path you've gone, but I've taken another destructive path in my life. I destroyed my first marriage. I mean, I destroyed the things I love the most with my own hands.
Yes.
And so it's very similar, just a different type of expression of selfishness and sin and a lack of wisdom, but mostly it's selfishness. So I've taken a different path. So I'm not here thinking, Angel, how could you have done this? I know exactly how you could have done it. And sin is destructive. And the Bible says your sin will find you out.
Oh, yes.
It comes back.
When I relapsed, I hid my relapse for quite a while. But eventually it'll show its head, you know. And parents out there, watch your kids. It'll show its head. Watch the signs. They'll start being a little, you know, they'll pull themselves back from friends and start messing up in school, you know, being late for stuff. Those are all signs. You need to keep an eye out for those things.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to save everybody, but damn, we do got to get out there and try to save the ones that can be saved.
Yeah.
You know, because I always wanted to quit. I wanted help. Mm. But one, you got to get away from the people you're hanging out with. And you need a really, really good support system. I have one of the greatest support system. If it wasn't for my little sister, Maricel, I don't know what I'd do without her and her husband.
Wow.
They took my kids when I couldn't take care of them.
Oh, wow. Wow. Your daughter, you said when she was born, so she's almost 20 now, or 19.
18.
She's 18?
Mm-hmm. No, she's 19.
19. Yeah, and my producer met you recently and said that you had spoken to her class.
Yes.
What grade level was that?
It was her senior year last year at Golden High School.
Oh, wow.
And they were going to a field trip at Washington, D.C. to to go to a homeless camp, so they invited me in to talk to them about homelessness, and the homelessness led to, you know, was a cause of my drug addiction. Mm. You know, I had plenty of help, but I just didn't want it. So
you mean that because you were addicted to drugs, you ended up homeless?
That is correct.
Yeah, we've done so many shows on homelessness, especially back in the 90s. The Denver Post, their editorial page editor, Chuck Green at the time, he said every Friday he was going to run a column on a homeless family in Denver, like a mom and a dad and kids. And I contacted him and I said, Chuck, throughout the year, could you come on the show to talk about your columns? Because I predict that you're not going to be able to find 50 homeless families, because this is mostly men, some women, who have made decisions to be drunks or drug addicts. And this is all their own decisions that has made them homeless.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's the mentally ill. That's absolutely true. That's another category.
Yes.
But, you know, he did those columns, and the vast majority of those columns were about individuals, single people who were homeless. Mm-hmm. And I would call him up and say, he'd come on the radio, and I'd say, Chuck, this woman, you were going to do 50 homeless families. This is just a woman.
Yeah.
He's like, well, yeah, I had a hard time finding a family. And it turns out she owned two homes, but she's here in Denver because we had good homeless shelters, and she's a drug addict.
Yeah.
And they're, she's not even homeless, let alone a homeless family. Anyway, that was all these misnomers.
Yeah, they're out there because basically they want to be. I mean, I was out there holding a sign. That's how I got my money to get my drugs.
Wait, say that again. Because we talk about this with our kids. You're holding a sign. Why?
I was out there holding a sign saying I was hungry and homeless and cold. Please help.
Please help.
God bless.
And people would give you money.
Uh-huh.
And what did you do with the money?
I called the dope man.
Right.
Go get my heroin.
So let me tell you what I did for some years, Angel, around Denver. Now, you weren't in Denver, right? You were in a new transplant to Colorado.
Right.
Where were you most of your life?
In Las Vegas.
Vegas, and you spent time up in Alaska, right?
Yes.
We got a lot of listeners in Alaska, especially Wasilla. So they're tuning in right now, by the way.
Pray for Alaska. They have a big, big drug problem. I was running away from my problems when I relapsed again in 2010.
Yeah. Well, just like we have Indian reservations here in the mainland, there is a horrific problem with drug and alcohol abuse. The human suffering is incalculable. But for years, I carried a sign in my trunk. And when I would see somebody on a street corner, I might have seen you, but you were in Las Vegas, and with a sign that said maybe, we'll work for food, you know, or homeless, hungry, whatever. I'd go up to them and I'd say, hey, I got a truck we got to unload, and you can have all the food you could carry. And they would say, oh, man, I got to go to a doctor's appointment. I can't go with you. But do you have $3, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would go to my trunk and get out my sign. It was a protest sign. And I'd stand next to the person. It had an arrow, so it would point to the person, and it said, he's lying. In big letters, he's lying. I would protest the homeless guy because people would give him money, and he would go and buy drugs, and they were killing him on the installment program. That's what they do down at the rescue mission in Denver, the Denver Rescue Mission. They kill people on the installment program, whereas Step 13, Bob Cote, they don't. They help people.
Yeah.
Because Bob Cote says, you cannot be drunk, you cannot be high, and be here in our shelter.
That is correct. There's a lot of help out there for everybody, but there's rules. And when I was out there, I didn't want to follow the rules. I'd rather be high.
Mm-hmm.
So there was plenty of help, plenty of ways to get food.
Tons of food.
Tons of food. There's food banks. There's missions.
You could get fat on the street. In almost any city in the country, you could get fat on the street.
Yeah. And unfortunately, some of the around the rescue missions and where there's actually people trying to help people, I think that's where our law enforcement and stuff needs to concentrate, because usually around those places is probably the most
horrific drug dealing going on. Horrific crime.
Yes.
And I just said you could get fat on the street.
Yeah.
If you want to go down, let's say some church, a youth group or whoever, and they want to go, you know, check off a box on being a good Christian. So they want to go downtown and feed the homeless. well, you better get in line because there's a lot of people feeding the homeless. And they might come to your table you set up and think, those sandwiches just don't look all that good. I'm going to go down the block and get somebody else's food. I'm going to get the fried chicken over there.
Yeah. The only way that I help somebody is if the good Lord touches my heart. And I'll either go get them a gift card to McDonald's or something.
That's an idea.
Or best is
bring them for a meal. That's the best. Because then you get to talk to them.
Yes.
And that would
be a good idea.
That's meaningful. I went up to Boulder, Colorado. There was on the Pearl Street Mall there. And there was some homeless thing, and I was asked to participate. And it was like a debate, and I was saying how the shelters are destroying people. And so there was a married couple staying. One was in the female shelter. The other's in the male shelter. They're like 23 years old. So I said, I've got a brand new place. You guys could come and have the master bedroom and bath. And the only thing I'll require is that you're working. That's it. And they said, this is in a live debate. And they said, no, we'd rather stay in the shelter. Because they don't have to work in the shelter. They could just be high all the time.
That's right. There's a lot of people that are like that. Mm-hmm. Most of the people that are out there want to be out there.
Yeah. So the Bible, the New Testament says it's a command. It says this is a command. He who will not work shall not eat. Huh. That sounds tough, but hunger is tough love. If somebody's hungry and they can't help it, well, then you feed them, of course. But if somebody says, I'd rather get high, I'd rather get drunk, and I don't want to work, I just want to be high, well, then be hungry. In a few days, you might change your mind. But people want to feel good about themselves, so they kill people on the installment plan by giving them money, and I feel good about myself, and I know he's going to go get drunk, but I don't really care because I helped him.
Yeah.
That's not love.
We've actually tried to, a guy said, I'll work, you know, work for food. Had this little sign, and we're like, well, come on, we'll give you $10 an hour. He said, I can't give up my corner for that much.
Exactly.
So, yes. I mean, giving them money is not helping them.
No.
Because it wasn't helping me. It was just helping my addiction.
Yeah. If somebody in the audience wants to pick up that idea and make a sign, it doesn't have to be big, just like 2.5, 3 feet by 3 feet on a stick, says he's lying in real bold letters. With an arrow pointing diagonal down, then get a selfie of yourself protesting a homeless guy and email it to us at bob@kgov.com, and we'll post it on today's show summary with Angel. So, Angel, could you tell me a bit about when you were in Las Vegas, you headed up to Alaska, a bit about that part of your life, and then when you came to the Lord?
Well, I had already come to the Lord, and beware that once you come to the Lord, the devil's coming with the vengeance. Wow. He does not like losing some of the, as the old pastor told me, he told me the devil don't like losing one of his best generals. He's coming back for you, and he's going to come back with the vengeance. So you have to be armed and ready, you know, put the whole armor of God on.
Yeah. So who reached out to you? Who helped? Where were you when?
It was
3 years ago?
I was reaching out to other people. I had had enough. Mm. I was just tired of being sick and tired. Mm. I was tired of being sick all the time from the drugs. Mm. I was tired of waking up hungover.
Yeah.
I wanted my kids back. I wanted to see my family, my sisters, you know.
Yeah.
They served me with tough love, and I don't blame them. I was no one, you know, very likable at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started reaching out, basically online, watching TV, watching Christian shows, you know. And
you know, that was tough love on their part.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to do that. Yeah. I don't blame them one little bit for that.
No, they helped you by
doing that.
Downtown Denver, some guy came up to me, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, on the street, and he said, hey, man, I only need a couple bucks. I'm down on my luck. You know, I need money for gas or whatever. And I said, just use your credit card. He's like, oh, I don't have a credit card. Well, then use your debit card. oh, well, just call a friend. And I know he doesn't have any friends. He doesn't have any family. I said, just call somebody who loves you. Just call one person who loves you instead of asking a stranger. And I said, you know what? You look like you're 50 years old. I know that you have no family left, no friends. You have made 1,000 bad decisions. And for me to give you money right now would be a bad decision on my part. Yeah. You have destroyed your life. You've destroyed every relationship. And you need the Lord.
You know, it was a phrase that got me to do that. And the phrase was, when you can no longer stand, kneel.
Oh, wow.
And
when you can no longer stand,
kneel.
Yeah. Humble. Be humble.
Yep.
Before the Lord. And, prostrate.
And he works in mysterious ways.
Prostrate. Yeah. You know,
because my wife was having a hard time, and she OD'd in 2013 in December.
Oh.
And I truly, truly believe the Lord took her to be with him.
Oh.
Because.
I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry. She was battling her demons, and she was not winning. Even with the Lord in her corner, she was having a really hard time.
Yeah.
There are some people that just, how can I put this? They just don't want to quit.
Yeah.
They just don't want to quit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's, you know, we use the word demon, but it's like your sin gets a hold of you.
Yeah.
And it seems to take more strength than you have to overcome it. But the Lord comes alongside, and he, through Christ, we're able to accomplish more than we ever, ever could have dreamed we could have ever done by ourselves. Yeah. We're about out of time.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just so thrilled to meet you. It's an honor to have met you. I don't know if you and my producer, Mike, if you guys will be able to stay in touch. But certainly I invite you to visit us sometime at Denver Bible Church.
Okay.
That would be wonderful. Our church members, they tune into the show, so they would love to get to meet you sometime.
It would be my honor, and it was an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're very.
I hope it touched somebody out there.
Well, I'm sure it did. If no one else, your daughter, would you like to, in closing, say something to her?
Yeah, actually, Cheyenne and Dustin, I love you. I'm proud of you, and thank you. And to, is it all right if I mention where I work?
Yeah, please do.
Everybody at Ramos Law, thank you for being such a big supporters in my life, my extended family.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Thank you very much, Joe Ramos, Maricel, Eddie, Paige. All you guys in that office, I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Angel, thank you. You made a big difference just encouraging me and everyone here.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Ultimately, we thank the Lord Jesus Christ who gave us life, and then he gave us new life to all those who humble themselves and trust in him, his death on the cross and his resurrection. This is Bob Enyart for Denver Bible Church and KGov.com, and may God bless you.